Okay. So now I've gotten to learn a little bit about you guys through the chat. You know that I am the person whose name was on the description of this workshop. Some of you know a little bit more about me than that. And some of you are brand new to what to me and what I do. And I find that especially when I'm a participant in something and I've sort of taken this leap, I'm like, I'm going to carve out 90 minutes of my day to sit across from someone I've never met. I really appreciate getting to learn more about that person. And that means usually for me, I'm more open to what can occur during that time. I'm more open to receiving what's possible during that time. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background and it will be brief because if I talked for at length about everything that has occurred during my tenure as a coach, it would take a long time. So I've been coaching for 7 years and I had never coached through a pandemic. I think none of us has ever done X through a pandemic. And the thing that occurred to me recently as I was creating this talk and really being in this subject and then supporting the other group that I did this online workshop for, I did this for another group yesterday. It was interesting timing. What occurred to me was that everything that I'm about to talk to you about today is what has enabled me and my business not only to thrive pre-pandemic, but to continue to thrive during a pandemic. I'm incredibly grateful that I had the learnings that I had. I'm incredibly grateful that I have the business model that I do. And I'm very excited that what we're going to talk about today is something that I've lived in my own life through very challenging times and been able to continue to have a thriving business and seen others, the clients I support do the same. I'm going to share two stories with you because I find that the reason why I'm sharing them with you, their client stories, people who have worked with me, is I want to encourage you to see these stories as evidence of what's possible for you if you're willing to test out what we talk about today. If you're really willing to lean into it and say, I don't know for sure what will occur for me if I really embrace what we talked about, but I'm going to test it and see. Because I heard these two stories of people who did it and what occurred for them. So that's why I want to tell you these stories. These are both clients of mine, one of whom is a woman. They all work with clients themselves, these two stories that I'm sharing. Not all of my clients do, but in this realm of my coaching, these two women do. And one of my clients is a former client now. She came to me, and this is a woman I had known for probably 10 years. And for at least that long, she had been working inside her business. She'd also watched my growth and seen my pathway and seen where I had gotten to grow to be. And she decided she wanted to reach out and go like, what are you doing? Like, what is occurring over there? Because something has happened and things have changed. And like, what is happening? She ended up becoming a client. And this is a woman who for all of those years had been working very hard in her business, had always felt like she wasn't making enough money to do the things she wanted to do, to have the life she wanted to have. And she also knew she was pretty damn good at what she did. And we worked through much of what I'm going to share with you today and beyond. And in her first 3 weeks of her coaching program, she signed five new clients. She started working with five new clients at a higher fee than she had ever charged before or received before. The other woman that I'm going to tell you about, she had also known me for a very long time. We'd known each other for quite a while. And you'll notice there's a theme here. People who become your clients or people you have a relationship with, which Andrea was referencing at the beginning of our call. So relationship building and creating connections and nurturing them is very important. This woman came to me and she was almost burnt out. She was very frustrated with feeling like she had to do a million things and be online everywhere and have a social media presence here and figure out sales funnels and make YouTube videos. And she was working with clients, but kind of like just kind of making ends meet, just kind of making ends meet. The year that she did coaching with me, in her client-based work, she tripled that income. That income tripled for her. And in both of these stories, these women, they really leaned into testing what we're going to talk about today. They met the any resistances. They brought them forward for support when they occurred. And they got to see those results. So I share those stories with you because I want you to feel empowered. I want you to feel inspired. I want everybody to rise and thrive during this time. I want the pandemic for businesses and people who are passionate about other people to be a time that allows them to gain. I want you and the world to gain from this experience of what we're all living in right now. Okay, so I always invite everybody who's participating in something with me to really actively participate, to have this be more than a lecture, something that you sit back and listen to. I invite you to turn off your cell phone notifications. I invite you to set aside email during this time, to grab your pen and paper, to actively take notes, to be willing to be in this experience from a position of, I'm not just going to get information today. What's possible today is that I could create transformation. Transformation could occur for me today. Lifelong change could occur for me today. So that's my invitation to you, is that you give yourself the permission and the invitation to say yes to more during our time together. Today we're going to cover your relationship with money, truths about money, how to approach potential clients without appearing needy or desperate for the sale or money, taking the shame, guilt, and awkwardness out of asking for payment, and why people who are willing to get uncomfortable make more money. The reason why I love talking about this is because what I've gotten to see in my work is that the money in people's bank accounts is a reflection of how fully they're living out their vision. That the money in people's bank accounts is a reflection of how fully they're contributing to their lives and the lives of others. That has certainly been true for me. I did not always know this. I wasn't always financially thriving. I had times when I first started my business, I think I had a $7,000 year. That was how it was, because I didn't know this stuff. And we really don't know it until we learn it. So I share that with you so you know I've lived through growth. This is a total judgment-free zone. We're all in different places in our lives and our businesses. This is all just one big learning. I'm still learning. I got lots of room to grow in my learning. I'm going to start with point number two as my intro point. We're going to go right to truths about money. And I'm going to preface this by saying that these did not feel like truths to me before I was willing to act as if. And I was willing to say, can I imagine, who would I be if I embraced that this was true about money? What would I do differently? What would I create? How would I show up? What ideas would come to me? This was through my work with my own coach that I got in this headspace. And so my encouragement to you is as I read through these, if there's any part of you that's like, I would love to believe that is true, it just doesn't feel true for me right now. My bold invitation to you is, what would you do if you did believe they were true? are you willing to test out the hypothesis that this could be your reality? And if you were the person who believed these to be true, what would you do differently? Okay, let's go with truth number one. Money is everywhere, and there are millions of ways to make money. Money is everywhere, and there are millions of ways to make money. Even today, even right now. Number two, wanting money doesn't make you selfish, evil, greedy, or a bad person. Money is neutral. Number three, you may need money, but you don't need that person's money. You don't need that prospective client's money. You don't need that sales prospect's money. You don't need that customer's money. You may need money. You don't need that person's money. Money, I forget what number one, I'm just going to read them out. Money works best when we allow it to flow. That means we allow it to go out, and we know that in the allowing of it to go out, we're contributing to it coming back. Money is like water. If we hoard it, if we feel like I got to lock it down because it's never going to come again. It's like a pool of water that's been dammed and it gets stagnant and stuff starts to grow and we start to feel yucky and really stuck. And so there is a truth to the more we can know that money is a flow, the more we experience it. We can experience it that way. And outgoing can contribute to incoming. Money making can be fun. It's our final one. Making money can be fun. And when we have fun, we make more money. I have been so excited about doing these online workshops. I'm having fun right now doing this. I never thought in a million years I'd be somebody who would have fun doing something like this, but I do. And the more that I lean into how could my money making be fun, the more money comes in. When I combine it with everything else we're going to talk about today, we can get very serious about money because we start to feel like our life depends on it. Like, I got to be able to pay the mortgage. I got to be able to pay my bills. What happens if I don't? I don't have very much. We go into lack. And then all of a sudden we're like, I got to buckle down and make more money. I have to get very like knuckle down about this. And then we try and approach money making or sales or selling from that place. And it doesn't work. It's really not very effective. So making money can be fun, and the more fun we have, the more money we make. We're going to move to your relationship with money. And remember how I said my invitation to you is active participation. I am not going to get you to talk about your relationship with money. You can talk about it if you want to. You can include it in the question you want to ask, but nothing will be required. But I am going to get you to spend 5 minutes doing an exercise that has you getting some maybe surprising insight, at the very least insight into how you view money. One of the things that I work with clients around, particularly if they're coming to me and they don't have the money they want, is one of the first things I'll say is, well, what's your relationship with money like? And I guarantee you, many of those people will say, I have never thought of that. I had never thought of this myself until somebody asked me that question. I hadn't thought of that I have a relationship with money, and that these are my very advanced audio visuals, my very advanced visuals. Here's money, and here's you, here's me. It had never occurred to me that there was a relationship between these two, that they come together to create how I experience money. I was always like, money is over here, and if I want anything to change, money has to change. But in any relationship, we're a very active participant. And the most empowering and impactful place we can look is here. This is me. if we want any change to occur. So we have a relationship with money. What is it like? How do we treat money? How do we feel about money? Do we ignore money? Are we embarrassed to talk about money? Do we think money's bad? I used to believe that people with a lot of money were selfish. That was one of mine. This exercise I'm going to invite you to step into for 5 minutes is one that can reveal that to you. And through awareness of where we're at, we get to see what we can work with and how to get where we're going. It gives us that map, that starting point on the map. So you're going to write a letter to money. Dear money, you suck. Why isn't there more of you? Why are you so hard to figure out? If that's what's occurring inside you, that's what you're going to write. You have 5 minutes. I'm going to come back to you. In 5 minutes, I'm going to sit here, hold space for you guys. Pen to paper. Dear money, this is what I think about you. This is how I feel about you. You have one more minute. Okay, bringing that to a close. So as you wrap that up, I want you to look at it just from a place of curiosity. I'm going to look at the letter and then ask yourself, what do I see? What is the quality or the nature of my relationship with money? Is it lovely and excited? Is it frustrated? Is it sticky? Is it emotional? There's no wrong. And I'm going to say something very bold. If your letter to money is anything other than, I feel so empowered. I know that I can create more of you when I want to. I know you're always available. There's room for you to grow inside your inner perceptions of money and the ways you take action to create it. We're going to talk as much as we can today about things that you can take into your day-to-day work life and apply to create results. And we're not going to cover all that's available to shift that letter to money. I recommend a book. It's called Overcoming Under-Earning. It's by Barbara Stanley. Overcoming Under-Earning. I recommend that book no matter how much your earnings are. If you're like, I don't need that book, I'm making 60K, or I don't need that book, I'm making 70K. There's room, or making 100K or 200K. There is room for growth and support that can come from really actively reading, engaging with, and participating with that book. It was life-changing for me, and I revisit it even as I've grown. I'm also going to circle back to something that I just created this week that is free, that will be more support, even more supportive around any inner relationship with money stuff. I'll make sure I talk about that at the end. We're going to move to our next subject, and then I'm going to open it up for questions. So remembering that if you have one that comes up as I'm talking or as we're here together, you go to participants, you see the name of participants pop up in the right side of your screen, and then you click raise your hand. This may feel like a sharp right turn to shift away from that work that we just did and the letter that you just did. Now we're going to talk about how to approach potential clients without appearing needy or desperate for the sale or money. And my stance in my own life experience and growing myself and my income and then supporting clients with that is that inner work and outer action are both required. We can't just sit and do inner work and hope that it will bring money to us. We also can't only take action without acknowledging that our beliefs and thinking about that action could impact those results. So both are required. Inner work and outer action is required. And that's why we're switching now to outer action, which is also going to be related to inner perception. So we're going to talk about how to approach potential clients without appearing needy or desperate for the sale or money. And we're going to contrast two ideas. These are not new to a couple of you. And my encouragement is as you're listening, you hear them as though they're fresh. And you gain so much more from that quality of listening. We're going to talk about serving versus selling. Because most people, everybody I've ever talked to, is a lovely person. And when they try to sell according to what we have been taught about selling, it feels very icky to them. And there is a reason for that. It is because it is icky to sell. It is icky to be on the receiving end of somebody trying to sell us something. It is not icky to be on the receiving end of somebody who comes from a place of serving. Somebody who comes from a place of, I'm not going to make this about me. I may need money, but I don't need your money. So tell me what's occurring with you. I don't yet know whether my product sale, my products or service, or whatever your offering is that you get money for. I don't yet know whether or not it's something you need. Tell me some more. What's happening? What are you looking for? What would you like to be different? What are you wanting to experience? What's going on? I'm not going to try to sell you something. That's the difference between selling and serving. And I'm going to talk some more about it. An example of selling, my friends and I, pre-COVID, one of my friends and I went to walk up this beautiful street here in Vancouver. We were going to do some browsing in some shops. We went into a kid's shop. It was super cute. Remember when you could comfortably do that pre-COVID? Just browsing, just looking around, hanging out with my friend. We did that. And immediately a salesperson came over. I had picked up a sweater. A salesperson came over and said, you know, that is super cute. It's also on sale. It's a totally great price. Do you have a child? And I was kind of like, whoa, okay. Yes, I do. And this is how old she is. And we're just browsing. We just wanted to come in and check the store out. The salesperson said, okay, but then stayed about a meter away as we continued to look. And every time we picked up something, it was like, she would love that. Also, if you like that, you might like this. And this is on sale. And can I bring this to the counter for you? It was very quickly that my friend and I basically ran out of the store. We looked at each other and within his hearing said, we need to leave. Had he said, when I said, we're just browsing, okay, I would have come back there. I guarantee I would have been back in there buying that sweater. But he was selling, not serving. He was all about wanting to make the sale. And we get this all the time. I get in my LinkedIn messages particularly, hi, Lindsay, I see that you do this. I do this. Let me know if you want me to do it for you. And I'm like, I acknowledge that person for being really strong in their commitment to taking a form of action that builds their business. And when I'm on the receiving end of a communication that is clearly all about the other person who doesn't know anything about me, that isn't something I respond well to. What I usually say as a coach is, how is this working out for you? I celebrate you for taking that action. How is it going? And often I'll get back people like, not that great, not that great, because they haven't slowed down. They haven't built the relationship. They haven't started from a place of relationship first, connection first, getting to know people first. That's what serving is about. In serving, we commit to not making it about us. We commit to, there are millions of ways to make money. I may need money, but I don't need your money. And we commit to integrity and coming from the heart. We also commit to non-attachment. I am not attached to this person buying whatever it is I offer. You can be non-attached to that person paying for work for whatever it is you do. You can go into that interaction from a place of, my highest intention is to create a relationship. My highest intention is to see if there's a way that I can support this person, whether it ever turns into a sale or not. I don't know if some of you had this experience where you go into a store and you ask for something and they say, we don't have it, but try that other store. Try the other store. Try like Ballsy's, made up a store name. Like, we don't have it at Home Depot. Try Ballsy's. That always blows me away. That's serving. That's like, they genuinely want me to get that thing that I need for my reno. This is so helpful. The next time I'm thinking of where to go, I'm going to go to Home Depot. They didn't even have the thing that I wanted, but I'm so touched by the fact that they're not just trying to sell me, that I trust that they're going to help me get what I need. And if they have it, I want to get it there. So we can do this inside our businesses and we can be willing to test it. We really slow down in serving to get curious about what is going on with the other person that may end up purchasing something from us. We're genuinely slowing down, saying, you know, let's take our time with this. Somebody says, I think I need X from you. Your response is not, great, here's how you can pay me for it. Your response is, tell me more. What's going on in your business that makes you think you need X from me? What's going on in your life that makes you think you need X from me? Tell me more about that. We always are slowing it down. The two stories that I shared with you at the beginning of our call, those women looked at their thoughts and their feelings about money. They were willing to get much more neutral about money, and they were willing to shift from selling, it's about me, to serving, it's about you. And very counterintuitively to what part of us believes, that is how they make more money. So now I'm going to pause and I'm going to look over in my participants. If you have had a question occur as I've been talking, if you have a question that's coming to you right now, if you are wanting support around some aspect of work life, now is the time to raise your hand. So you would click on participants. You'd see the column come up on the right. And at the bottom, you would click raise hand. Okay, Pylin's got a raised hand. Hi, Pylin.
I hear a lot about the serving concept in the coaching, and I'm actually kind of confused between just helping versus serving. Is there like a nuanced difference between them?
I love that question. I love that question so much. Yes, there is. I always think of helping as I'm very helpful. I'm going to help you out a lot. You're going to be very happy and pleased after I've helped you. And serving is different. It's serving is a willingness to do something that the other person may not necessarily like. If we see somebody who is, what's an analogy for this? I'm starting to think of one. It's like, okay, they're in a boat and their boat is sinking. And what they don't want to do is the work to take out the fix-it tape that'll patch the hole in their boat. And so they just keep ladling water out of the boat. They're like, oh my gosh, I wish the boat wasn't going to sink. Why do I have to keep ladling? Please come help me ladle this water. I don't want to do that work to put the tape over the hole. And you say, nope, I won't do that. What you need to do is put that tape over the hole so your boat stops sinking. That's serving. So in a more modern day analogy, it might be like, I go to a store and I say to somebody, I want to do this with my technology. I need a object or something changed on my computer so that I can achieve this outcome. I need this. And it's like a $200, $300, $3,000 upgrade. And that person will, instead of saying, yes, you can have this, will either say, look, I could sell you that, but I'm not going to because it's not going to do what you want. You can do this other product. It might cost more, but you're not going to achieve the end result with that lower fee priced one. I'm just sorry to tell you that. I could take your money, but it's not going to create the impact that you want. It's not going to create the result you want. I'm not saying you have to pay me. You can go somewhere else and buy that lesser priced product, but I won't sell it to you. That serving.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other hands? Okay. We're going to continue on. same process. If as a question comes up, you want to ask it, go on over, raise your hand, and I'll come to you. Let's talk about taking the shame, guilt, and awkwardness out of asking for payment. This is a question that one of the incredible women on this call has heard me say. And it is my question that I loved that I got to learn when somebody would come to, when I was experiencing my own discomfort around what I phrased as asking for money. I'm going to change the view. I think I need to put it back to speaker view. was I always thought I was asking for money. And what I got to learn was I'm not asking for money. I'm stating my fee. So if you don't have a fee, you have a cost, you have a price. We don't ever have to ask for somebody's money. What we do get to do and are required to do in our professional roles is state the fee. They don't have to pay it. It's different than I'm going to you and I'm saying, can I have this money because I need it? That's not what's occurring. All we're doing is stating the cost. They don't have to pay it. And so we never ask for money. We never ask for money. Ever. That's just not the reality, especially if we have taken the slowing down, serving, tell me what's occurring for you approach. Then people through that process, they decide for themselves that they want what we've got to offer. They want that. And so we're just sharing the fee. We're just sharing the fee. The other thing about taking the slowing down serving approach is I want to come from a place of if it's possible within my business model, which it certainly is for me, let's see if what we're talking about you buying from me, how that goes for you when you actually experience it. So in my like computer technology example, you can tell the computer technology is not my realm. I have no other words than computer technology. Let's use my computer technology example. If they had said, look, let's put this on your laptop and you can test it out and let's see if it actually does what you're hoping it will do. That's an even higher level of slowing down and serving. And so we can do that in any client process. It's like, but prior to any money exchanging hands, I want to know that I can help somebody. I want to have spent enough time with them. I want to have started to implement some of my coaching, some of my work to the degree that I know that my service is powerful for them. They know that too. And so I'm never asking them for money. They're like, I want this. How much is it? And I share the fee. And the fee, one of the coaches that I love, whose work that I find very powerful is Steve Chandler. He says the fee for whatever you're doing, the cost for whatever you're doing, that's just like the PIN code. It can be very neutral. We don't have to have all these stories attached to money. We don't have to get all worked up about money and have it mean all of this stuff. It's just numbers. It's just numbers. And that's something we can practice and strengthen inside ourselves. Anybody, I'm going to look over for hands. Does anybody have questions about that part? Okay, coming back. So the final piece that we're going to talk about is why people who are willing to get uncomfortable make more money. There are so many reasons, so many things that people who make more money do. Things that I had to grow and like stretch inside myself, because these are things I did not want to do. And, but at the foundational level of this idea is that all success occurs outside our comfort zone. All of our dreams, all of our most fulfilling, rewarding visions for our life or our work occurs outside of our comfort zone. And so if we have a vision of having a different level of income in our bank balance, we are required to become somebody who gets comfortable being uncomfortable, because we will be required to do things that we haven't done before. We will be required to grow ourselves in ways that we haven't grown before. We will be required to face fears and social programming and say no to those. So the more that you can get comfortable being uncomfortable, the more you'll be somebody who can create more income in your life. Because one of the things that people who make more money understand, I'm going to draw two things. Two circles. There's a light shining. I'll describe them. This big outer circle is no. Big inner circle, little inner circle is yes. Big outer circle is failure. Little inner circle is success. People who make more money understand that yes lives inside the land of no, that success lives inside the land of failure. They just know that. This is a truth. We cannot get a yes or experience success without going through no, without going through failure. These two live in the same land. And so we are required, or what's asked of us, if we are really wanting to create a thriving business, a thriving money mindset, is that we don't dramatize rejection and we don't dramatize failure. We don't make them bad. We can even make them good. There is somebody on this call. I'm not going to say her name. I once participated in a workshop she co-facilitated on improv. And inside that workshop, they talked about how people who do improv are always turning towards the yes. They always say yes and. But they also had us stand up and yell. Like, we stood in a circle. They had us stand up and yell, "I failed! I failed!" And we were celebrating it. We were like shouting it out to the room, "I failed!" Because it is worthy of celebration. You know, what it means when we fall down, when we get a no, when we fail in the creation or pursuit of something that we're working towards, is that we're in the game. We're not on the sidelines. We're not watching from the stands. We are out there in the game and we're on the path that leads to yes and leads to success. If we're not getting no's, if you're not failing, you're not on the path. You got to get on the path. You're not going to get more money if you're afraid of rejection, if rejection is bad instead of good. So one of the reasons why people are willing to get uncomfortable, to face that discomfort that we have initially around getting a no or failing, they make more money because they know yes lives in the land of no, success lives in the land of failure. They also are willing to risk the no. So once we learn that yes lives in the land of no, we don't care if we're willing to risk the no. We're not trying to get a yes. We're not avoiding the conversation that leads to talking about payment. We're willing to risk the no because, Leah, your phone just said a little chat message and I can't read it. I'm going to get you to put your hand up if you want to say something the next time I come back to you. And if you accidentally type that, it's fine. They're willing to risk the no because they've de-dramatized it, because they know that without no, you can't get a yes. And that the more no's you get, the more yeses will occur. The more quote unquote sales you will have, the more you offer your service, the more you slow down, serve and say, do you want more? If you do, this is the fee. The more times you do that, the more times you'll get a yes. That's basic math. I'm laughing because I say that like I'm like very astute at mathematics, but I am terrible at mathematics. But that makes sense to me. It's basic math. So they're willing to risk the no. And, you know, an example of this is, the two stories that I told you of the women who created much more income, they went out there and they were willing to be messy. They were willing to be like, Lindsay, I don't know how this is going to go, but I am going to try it. And oh my gosh, it's going to be so uncomfortable, but I am going to be willing to not be good at it. I'm going to be willing to know that I might not get yeses, that I'm not going to succeed right away. And that's how they created that income. This can also occur inside negotiating your salary. I've had clients be willing to risk the no, and because they did that, they ended up getting the money they asked for. They were willing to say, they might say no, but I'm going to ask for this salary. And then they end up getting it. So they're willing to risk the no. Money is no longer their stability, their security, their source of life. It's something that you can play with, be empowered with, test. People who are willing to get uncomfortable make more money because they know that action cures fear. Action is way more uncomfortable than non-action. And they are willing to take the action that's required, even if it's uncomfortable or scary, because they know that action cures fear. So they stay in action even as it's uncomfortable. And they end up creating more money because they're not sitting on the sidelines. They're not waiting. And the more action we take, the calmer we are. If I'm sitting there stewing about like, oh my gosh, I need to make more money. How do I make more money? I wish I knew how to make more money. Nothing occurs. If I take one action towards making more money, I'm like, I'm going to create connections. I'm going to nurture relationships. I'm going to foster this relationship. I'm going to see who has a problem that I can solve. I'm going to take that action today. I will calm down and I will actually get back on the path to creating a thriving, making money, good money through doing good work path. So stay in action. The other thing that people who are creating thriving businesses do is they ask, how can I go beyond just satisfying my client or my customer? How can I create something, whether it's a product, a service, that has people talk about it, that has people go out of the blue for no reason to their friend, I got this thing from this person, or they did this for me and it blew me away. And then the people you're serving become your marketing. The best marketing you'll ever have. They become people who refer people to you. They become people who love you. They become people who talk about you because you decided you didn't just want to meet their expectations, satisfy their expectation. You wanted to go beyond. That can be uncomfortable. That was against my programming. My default programming was, once you give to me, then I'll give to you. That was terrible programming. Terrible programming. But I really had that. And I needed to shift to this, who are you? What's occurring? What can I give to you that may not ever come back to me? And in my experience, the return always comes from somewhere. So it may not be that you may not get a sale or sign a client from somebody who you're serving, but that return will come from somewhere. Those serving actions, they are like, they fill up the cup so that it then overflows from somewhere else. Maybe those serving actions to that person will have them purchase from you or become a client. And that's wonderful. But I operate from, life meets me at the point of action, and the return comes from somewhere. And I get to see that true time and time again. Okay. We're going to pause. I'm going to pause in my talking. Questions. Think about, do I have questions? Is something occurring in my life or my business that I have a question about? Bobby has your hand up. All right, Bobby, you're up. Oh, I need you to unmute. Okay.
Hi. So the part about like kind of blowing clients away, can you talk about like the edge of being pleasy with that? Like,
sure.
Like, I watch that in myself, as you know, trying to please. And it kind of like reminds me a little bit of that salesperson that you talked about. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like it could easily, it's the mindset, right? The non-attachment, is that the key difference?
Well, I would say, Bobby, it's different to be going beyond from a place of pleasy than to go beyond from a place of serving. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at, is there more that I could do to astonish this person? Sometimes that's, you know, if we really want to look at it from the place of serving, mm-hmm. like it would be this person, it might please this person if I did this or this for them. But if I'm thinking about what would really, really serve them, particularly in your line of work coaching, mm-hmm. that's not something that comes from pleasing. That's something that comes from serving. So it's something like, there's an event coming up that I think would challenge this person, but I know would also really serve them. I'm going to tell them I bought them a ticket. I buy you this ticket. You should go. And if it's something that grows them, that is really of service to them and their end game goal, mm-hmm. the response to that is very different, and it's very clear where it's coming from.
Yes. That makes total sense. Sometimes if I'm sending an existing client or a potential client, how many resources should I send? How many, you know, like I sometimes wonder, like, is this, and we talk about it, but I just thought it might support the group.
Totally. I love that you brought it forward. Yeah. And in terms of like the amount, there's no general rule. I think when inside coaching, we never want to overwhelm people. Mm-hmm. There is a wealth of stuff that we could send at any given time, especially if somebody's new to working with us. But we do want to acknowledge that I don't want to get them into overwhelm. So I'm going to kind of, depending on the person, some people are voracious. They're like, give me more. And other people are like, this is what I have capacity for. I want to honor that.
Okay. I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking. Any other hands? Okay. So, amazingly, but not amazingly, because we set a very clear intention to cover everything, we have covered all that we had scheduled to talk about during our time together today. And I have something that I want to make sure I share with you guys before we open it up for the closing period. And that's when what I talked about when we were looking at the letter that you wrote to Money. As I was this week thinking about these workshops that I was running, I did one for a group of women entrepreneurs yesterday on the same subject. And so I've been thinking this week about the vastness of this subject and just how much work it can take to truly create transformation. And I always come from a place of, I want the work that I do and anything that I offer to be impactful and create the highest degree of transformation possible. And so I was thinking about what we were going to talk about today. And I thought, what happens when they write that letter? If they're like, this isn't an I love money letter. This isn't I'm so happy with everything to do with money letter. Is the rest of the day going to allow them to experience solution? And yes, but there's more. And so I created yesterday morning a two-part workshop that you were all invited to. It's called Making Good Money. It is complimentary. It is free. You don't have to pay for it. You are welcome to come. You're welcome to invite anybody who you think might benefit from it. It's a two-part workshop, and it is occurring from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time, Tuesday, December 8th, and 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time, Tuesday, December 15th. You can register for that group at this link that I'm putting in the chat. You can register for that workshop at imlindsaylewis.com/money. Oh, Leah, I see the symbol that you put now in the chat. Exactly. Hands up, celebration, cheering. What we're going to talk about inside that workshop, that two-part workshop, is a continuation and extension of today. We're going to be looking at your relationship with money and how you can shift it. I'm going to be doing and offering more individualized one-on-one coaching because that's where the real change can occur. We're going to be continuing to talk about taking the actions that create money and getting rid of the ones that don't, and having money making be doable. Making more money through things that are doable, things that you can actually do. Plus more. We're going to cover that plus more during that time together. You are invited to come. Anyone that you think may benefit from it is invited to come. I will say I'm going to cap it at a maximum of 15 people. I did talk about it and invite the women entrepreneurship group that I spoke to yesterday. Some registrations through them are already coming in. So if it's something that you want to register for, do it fairly soon. If you really want a spot, get in there. And you can invite people to it. You can invite whoever you think will be supported to come. So we close. I always feel like I talk about this stuff forever and I'm like, let's just stay on the line. I think we'll all just hang out on the line and talk some more about all of this stuff. Before we close, does anybody have anything that they want to ask? One last opportunity. And then Andrea, I'll reopen it up to you so you can say goodbye to people as well. Anybody have any question that they want to ask before we close? Okay. All right, Andrea, will you unmute?
Thank you so much, Lindsay. I really enjoyed your talk. It was so engaging, and writing that letter to money, it's interesting. I've been on my own journey and just seeing kind of where my energy has changed and shifted over time, which has been, was what was my part of my reflection. I really, really enjoyed that. And I think your piece around getting to know from yes, I think most of us who've been entrepreneurs before, it's always a bit of a mixed bag, but it's kind of what do you carry forward into the next journey. So, you know, journey to entrepreneurship was, I wish, you know, I learned through having some successes but some failures that we needed more mentorship and more coaching. And so this is why I'm passionate in the work I do. Don't go alone, and that they get some coaching, support, mentoring. And so just, I guess in terms of ways, that's just something that just sort of reinforces that. And just something I want to mention that kind of taps into both what I offer and my own passion for this work. So
I love that. I think what I thank you so much for saying that. And I think one of the things I love about what you just said is that we're not required to go it alone, and there is help, there is assistance, there are resources, there are people. And if we reach out for that, it can make a life-changing difference. I know for me, this is going to sound a little bit funny because I am a coach also myself, but the best thing I ever did was ask for help and pay for it and get mentorship and get support. That the best money I've ever spent, that's been the highest return on any investment, has been mentorship and coaching. Life-changing, hands down, what can occur when we are willing to get support. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And thank you so much for offering that to us today and around this topic and just kind of unpacking it. I think this topic of money, and we kind of talk a little bit more in Futurepreneur about financial literacy, people just even understanding how to record money and think about it, is just something that we are not particularly well prepared for as adults. And we can get locked into old mindsets. So I really, really loved, you know, what you're presenting, and hopefully it felt useful to everyone. And but I also appreciate you've recorded it, and then that's available and it can kind of spread further. So so thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So great. I love the way you bring the visuals in. It's very powerful. So.
Good. Thank you. I'm glad it's powerful.
And those of you, I'm seeing your comments, seeing your chats. You're welcome. You're welcome. And kudos to you for showing up and being on this call, creating the space to do this. You already supported yourself. Yeah, that's good. Okay, we will close. Light ahead, all good things. Everybody take care, stay well, do your thing, thrive.
Okay, bye.